name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love's greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. And nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Spending 2018 talking about community. How do we impact community? Beginning here in the church. How do we impact community within these four walls? Guys, I know that spring cleaning is annoying. There's a reason that our house looks the way that it does. Okay, I know that. But it can be incredibly fun to do it as a church next Saturday in impact our church community. Let me tell you something that I have had to wrestle with in terms of impacting church community. I have a job. I don't do it, but I have a job, right? And for years, I have taught a small group on Wednesday nights with a bunch of dudes, right? And it is incredible what my group is doing, and we're tearing scripture apart, and people are growing and impacting and praying for one another. It is so cool. And my nephew plays baseball. Anyone want to know what night his games are on? Wednesday night. Who's his taxi driver? But I also want to be his biggest fan. For a kid that does not have his dad in his life, when Ian and I are out and about and we're carrying on, people assume that I'm his dad. And as I said, that works back where I'm from, but no, I'm not his dad. You know, it's just... Our family tree has no branches. It's just one of those things. And so I go to everything of my nephew's. And his games start Wednesday night. And I wrestled that with that whole thing. I really did. And I just finally shared it with my small group. And they're like, you're an idiot. Go to his games. We'll be okay. Right? But sometimes we wrestle with how do we make that impact, and we think, oh man, I got to do church stuff. You know what? Family is church stuff, right? And so we wrestle with that, and then we think, how do we make an impact in the greater world, like the, you know, the circle of the earth or the flat one? Either one, how do we make an impact around the world? And so Andy is going to come and talk about how we can make an impact in the world to the Muslim community up in Toledo, right? And we're going to share a lot about what he's doing and how Jennings Road can be a part of that. That's impacting the greater world. But sometimes that is hard, because a couple months ago, my buddy Rob, as many of you asked me about this morning, I've hiked with him. I'm not going to tell you we slept together, but our tents were near, close to each other. And we have hiked, we have camped. We have hung out together. We have done so many things. And 2 years ago, he was diagnosed with MS. Rob is a beast. He is a fitness nut. He is incredible. I love his attitude. I love his spirit. And this thing is just... And it's a challenge, because a lot of what he used to be able to do to work out, he can't. And he's just trying so many different things. And he will text me to encourage me. Like, please. But we've done so much together, and he asked me a couple months ago, hey, will you be on my MS walk team in April in Oklahoma City? Anybody ever been to Oklahoma City? Woo, couple. I need some pointers, because I'm like, heck, do I want to go to Oklahoma City for? Right? Because I have been in this much of Oklahoma on my way to Colorado. See you, Oklahoma. You know, and I just thought to myself, oh my gosh, having another grandkid, gonna be gone. What's her name's 30th anniversary, wedding anniversary, her happy marriage, hers, is this coming, you know, year, and we're gonna take off for a while. And I'm like, and I wrestled with it. I really did. And then one day I thought, wait a minute, I'm talking about us impacting the world at large, right? And so I said, yeah, Rob, I'll be a part of your group. And so many of you donated to that, and it's going to be an amazing time. But sometimes we feel guilty for doing things, because we just have all this stuff that sometimes we can't see clearly. And so hopefully this year I'm able to give you very simple ways of being able to impact that you don't have to feel guilty about. To be a witness, like Andy is being a witness in Toledo, or I'm trying to do with my family, or, you know, we do when we go to work and everything else. A lot of times I will tell you, don't invite people to church. What I tell, invite them to come meet Jesus, right? And they can do that here. He's here this morning. But I don't want people to be invited to church. I want to invite them to meet Jesus. And if we're going to share Jesus with people in the world at large, you know what they don't care about? Who he is. They care about who we are as his followers. Because if we're not living right, we're not talking right, we're not acting right, they don't want none of that. Right? We can ruin the image of who Jesus is, do our actions prove how much we love him, how devoted we are to him, or is it just the motions? And today I'm going to introduce you to some people that are doing things for Jesus and he's dead. He's physically dead. And yet they do things for Jesus, and I want to be like them. I'm going to tell you stories about believers that swing into action through worship. Because, can I tell you the truth? And I know I've said this way too much. I gave Trina a puzzle this morning. 1,000 pieces, I hope. I have no idea. I bought it at a Goodwill. It's of my all-time favorite painting in the whole world, Starry Night. It is. I love that painting. I saw it, and I remembered Matt's amazing, communion meditation. I thought, I'm buying that for Trina. It's Starry Night, and I think it's great. What question did she ask me when I handed it to her? Is it all there? Sure. Trina, if you give it back to me today, I will wear no shoes and I will count by 20s and see if all the pieces are there. Because that would be annoying, right? To be able to do, but I'm telling you, every single Sunday, when that woman stands up here and her husband's behind her and that punk kid is on the drums that just keeps doing this, right? And I'm like, I love this. This is wonderful. I love worship here. But I make the mistake of saying, oh, worship's over, just because the songs are over. And that's not just worship. And I want to show you some people in the Bible today that even though to them God was dead, they worshiped. To find out how they did, open your Bibles. Open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 27. You can look that up in your table of contents or flip toward the back. It's the very first book of what's called the New Testament. Matthew, chapter 27. And we're going to be way down toward the bottom if you're scrolling on your phones or tablets, down in verse 57. To truly worship the way that we should, we need to be aware. There are some things we need to be aware of. Verse 57. As evening approached, I love this verse. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had become a disciple of Jesus. I love in that one verse all that we learn about this dude with a very common name, Joseph. Look at the verse, right at the beginning. Evening is coming. That may mean nothing to you. It means something to us, although our evening has disappeared. Daylight savings time. Where did it go? Right? It's gotten lighter out. But evening was approaching. It's Friday. The next day is the Sabbath. And they couldn't do anything on the Sabbath. But here's the thing, the Sabbath began Friday night. So as evening is approaching, Joseph is on the move. He's on the move. He's got to get this done. This is a man who cares about God's laws. Look at the verse, how much money he got. Oh yeah, anybody that is rich is someone with more money than me, right? He is a rich man. Wait a minute. I thought Jesus said that if you're rich, you got to sell everything you have and give it to the poor. He did say that to one person. Because that one person cared more about money than he did God. If you're rich, you don't have to give everything away. I said stupid. Because you can worship God with your wealth. And that's what this guy did. This is a guy that cares about God's law, who is motivated to use his wealth, as Scripture says, to whom much is given, much is required. We can use our wealth to impact the kingdom. He's from Arimathea. Anybody know where that is? Me neither. Ever been to Wren? Right? Yo, who knows? But it's not local. Anyone else here in this building not grow up in this church? I did not. Yeah, right? Where's Joan Sterrett when I need her? Because she'd always be... Right? Because she did grow up in this church. And the ironic thing is, I made the comment to my kids once, and I think I've shared this with you before, that one of my goals is, I will raise a generation through this church that grew up in this church. And he goes, Josh goes, Dad? Right? And I'm like, oh, job's done. You know, yeah, we are so used to being transient and on the move and everything else. This was a big deal. This guy's not from Jerusalem. He's from somewhere else. But it didn't matter to him. He was there in the moment, and he said, I don't care if I'm not from here. I'm not going to use that as an excuse to just sit and watch. And then the end of the verse. He became a disciple. Well, who cares? Here's why we care. You know what he was a part of? The old church leadership structure. He was a part of that Pharisee, Sanhedrin, all those words that you're like, huh? He was a part of that entire dynamic. And he was sitting in the room when they did that fake trial of Jesus, bringing him in and them freaking out when he claims to be the Son of God and all this other stuff. And Joseph says, I don't think it's right what we're doing. I don't think we should be treating him this way. And there's always that one guy in board meeting that ruins it by talking about God, right? And they're like, oh, shut up, Joseph. And at that moment, he decides, I'm not following the old church. I'm following Jesus. That's incredible for him to make that statement and for Matthew to tell us, because remember, he's writing this letter so that the Jews can believe that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. And he's saying, here's this old Jew that could have said, dude's a loon. He goes, nope. He was willing to leave all that old stuff that he had been taught behind, and he's going to take a stand for Jesus. That's hard to do, isn't it? To stand up to our family or to our teachers or to our friends or to our parents or sometimes even to our kids or to our bosses. How do you take a stand like that? Well, we also know that he had a buddy that was on the church board also. A guy by the name of Nicodemus. Ever heard that name? Yeah, if you haven't, look at John 3:16 and the verses that surround it. Man, does it help to have a fellow believer in the midst of the chaos, right? And so we are simply aware of all that has gone on in our past. But we've met Jesus, and we've become his disciple. And we're spurred to action then. And that's one of the ways that we can worship, by doing those things. I don't know that I, as your pastor, teach enough about what it's simply like to be a disciple, where we just learn, as Matt talked about, where we just follow him wherever he tells us. And when he says, go, we go. So let's be aware of who we used to be, but now that we have met Jesus, what it is that we can do for him. We're aware of who we are. That's how it helps us worship. Look at verse 58. Sometimes it takes us being aggressive. Going to Pilate. What was that like? He asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Now, I don't know about you, I would be super intimidated to go up to Pilate, the Roman official, a government official, and go, can I have his body? Now listen, when I was a pastor in Kentucky, four pastors went to Frankfort, Kentucky, and we met with Jim Bunning, who has since passed away, I think. And he was a guy that we were going to ask for pastors. We were going to ask for money so that we could bring economic development to our third world country back in our little county in Kentucky. And it was an amazing conversation, and I sat there just staring at one part of this man. I'm literally this close to him, and I'm going, oh. Anybody know why? He had a ring on. Do you know what the ring was? Baseball Hall of Famer, Jim Bunning. And I'm sitting there just, oh. And finally he looks at me and he goes, Pastor Ray, you haven't said anything. You have anything to add? And I said, that ring is the coolest thing I've ever seen. But there's that part of it that I'm sitting there going, this is a senator, right? This dude, this is a senator, and me, right? And here is Joseph going, hey, Pilate, can I have his body? That's aggressive, man. And to make that choice to be aggressive, to just simply say, this is what I want to do for Jesus. I don't care who's in my way. I'm going to... Now, we're all afraid. We're all nervous, right? I love the story of the young first-time preacher who is at a conference, and one of the older preachers gets up to talk, and he tells this story that everyone thought was amazing. But the guy gets up and he says, I have a confession to make. I need you to know that for many years I've spent years in the arms of another woman who is not my wife. And the crowd is like, oh, this is like Billy Graham confessing that, right? And then he goes, yeah, it was my mother, you know? And everyone's, whoo, thank goodness. And the young pastor goes, oh, that's a good one. I'm going to tell that. So he gets up the next Sunday and he goes, guys, I've got a confession to make. I have spent many years in the arms of another woman. And it's not my wife. And the crowd is like, and then he gets nervous. And he goes, and for the life of me, I can't remember who, right? And we're so afraid that if we take the risk to be aggressive, to just kind of go, oh, I should do this, I should do this, that we're going to go blah, 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 blah. And we're going to just trip over ourselves. And what? So what? Try it. I would have been too afraid to go up to Pilate and go, hey, can I have the body? Because that's intimidating. But man, not for Joseph. So what does it look like if we do things for Jesus as an act of worship? Look at verse 59. Listen to these words. Joseph, tell him I said hi. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of rock. That sounds tiring. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. I don't know why I have to record that. Do we not live in a world of death? Now listen, I don't watch the news anymore, and I'm almost tired of reading the news anymore. Because all it is death, 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 death. And I love going to see my dad and sitting with him. The man still loves to watch the nightly news. And I sit there with him and he falls asleep and I watch the death, 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 death. And I feel lost. And I feel helpless. And I feel hopeless. We live in a world where it's death of babies, it is death of marriages, it is death of hope, it is death of safety and security and innocence, and we live in a world where it's a death of truth. Because I have so many goofball friends on Facebook that post stuff that is wrong. It's absolute lies. It's stupid. We don't even live in a world of truth anymore. What impact would it make if we lovingly took the risk of saying, what can I do? What can I do to make a difference? Can I tell you how I was convicted Thursday? I'm in Bluffton. Don't ask. I'm in Bluffton. I go to the Twisted Whisk. It's a coffee shop. And now when I walk in the door of that coffee shop in Bluffton, Ohio, I hear from behind the counter, oh, it's Dave! It's like Norm walking into the bar at Cheers, right? And I'm like, hey, everybody! And I walk up and there's a new gal at the counter, and one of the girls comes running from the kitchen, puts her arms around the other girl, who it was her second day. Oh man, I love people like that, because I still remember what second days are like, right? And she says, before I can get a word out, and I think it's the manager, I don't know, they've changed so many times. She says, you're going to love this guy. If you're having a rotten day, he'll make it better. And now listen, he's the happiest guy I know. For those of you who know me well, I hate people, right? And I felt guilty for a second. But then I realized, why does she care? I want to make her happy for this moment. I want to put a smile on her face for the moment. I want to be able to leave and have her go, that was awesome. Right? And there are days I don't feel it, that I don't want to be like that, or I'm hurting, or I'm sad, or I'm down, and I don't want to be that. But man, by the time I walk in that door, I make sure that by the time I leave, I have aggressively pursued making an impact in other people's lives. You don't have to do it the way that I do it. You understand that, right? I talked to a sweet little girl at Danielle's Bible study on Monday night. I was there in Bluffton, don't ask. And because my daughter forgot her purse. And so I go up, I get invited to be in Danielle's Bible study, and this little girl says that people keep telling me that I'm going to make an impact on the world, and I'm afraid to talk to people. And I said, kiddo, we live in an amazing world. You can write songs. You can email people, whatever that, you know, you can text people, you can do so many things, you can share videos online, you can make an impact. And she got so excited. She pulled out some paper and just began scribbling, and I'm like, that is awesome, and I don't want to be here, right? We can make an impact on people, but sometimes it takes us being aggressive and getting over that nervousness. He's the happiest person I know. So, verse 61, sometimes the best way to worship God is to be awful. Now, I got that down. Verse 61, Mary Magdalene, I love this verse, and the other Mary, where they're sitting opposite the tomb, and they are awful. They are hurting so bad. They are so mourning. Mary Magdalene, we're familiar with her. Do not buy into TV. Nowhere in Scripture does it say Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. Stop it. Stop watching TV and go, well, that's what I learned. No, the only thing we know about Mary Magdalene is one little verse where it says, Mary Magdalene, who once had 7 demons cast out of her. Obviously, she had an ex-husband and 6 kids, right? That's what, and he got custody. Demons gone, right? Jesus had healed her of these 7 demons. And man, she followed Jesus. And I feel bad. Mary Magdalene, oh, and the other Mary. Sometimes we just simply go through life and you'll never be recognized for who you are, for the impact you've made, for the relationship you have with Christ, for all the stuff that you do that you'll never stand up here and be recognized for. You're the other Mary. But you're there. You're there.
you're there to support the other Mary, or you're there just because Jesus is there and you want to be there, or you're just simply hurting and you know the best place you can be is where Jesus is. It's okay to be the other Mary. It's okay to be awful. You just don't stay there very long. Because, man, that leads to depression, and that's a hard thing for those of us who have been there and had to overcome it. Mourning does bring people together. It is one of the reasons that I get phone calls. Doggone it, Ospa. That I get calls, hey, we've got a family here that wants to have a funeral. They have no connection to church at all, but they want to have a service. Is that a cry for help? Is that one of the toddlers, or is it Danielle? Is Danielle screaming for help? I see you. Yes, I do. So I get phone calls, hey, there's a family that has no connection to church whatsoever, but they want to have a service. Will you do it? And I, man, this last time I wanted to say no. Just tired. But I said yes. Because, man, bringing people that are in mourning together and just simply being there as a representative of Christ, that's a big deal. Right? So sometimes we just simply are awful, and that helps us worship. We are surrounded by death and mourning. And I think the way that we worship beyond our singing or along with our singing is going to tell the difference between churches that know how to worship and impact this world of death and dying and those whose worship doesn't leave the building. If you are awful this morning, good news, you're in an awful church that will just worship with you. We will be awful with you because there's a lot of other Marys here in this place. There's a lot of Mary Magdalene's that have had the past just ripped away from them, and Jesus gave us a new purpose, and we want to help you heal. Let us worship with you in your pain. Be aware of who you used to be and celebrate who you've become. And sometimes it feels like God is just dead. Let you and me worship together anyway. Let's stand together and sing our closing song. And as God speaks to you, just come on down and let us worship with you.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. Was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Before we go to prayer, if you noticed, I was being a jerk in texting during the song. Because I got a message from my hiking buddy Mike that his second grandchild was born 10 minutes ago. And he's on his way to St. Louis. Man, I love celebrating life in a world of death. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for dying for us. And man, thank you even more that as we sang this morning, that the grave could not hold you. I'm so happy for Trevor and Hannah this morning. I celebrate the birth of that baby girl. Because God, we live in a world of death. I pray for anyone here that just is so overwhelmed by all this death and chaos around us, that they might experience the true life and power in the name of Jesus. And it's in his name I pray. Amen. Amen.